did the history first come together?
This was like a project, I guess, that Matt and I kind of just talked about one night together at Molly's, I think, one night. And originally we thought it'd be like some kind of a folk rock project. That's kind of what Matt was doing, Silent Cinema. And we had a female singer lined up. That's what we thought we were going to do. I kind of just recruited Amanda. I wanted to add something like a violin to, you know, to the band. And I think Brett was kind of just looking for a new project. And with Matt already, it was kind of like, you know, we had a drummer already, and so we started getting together, Matt and I, just started, like, working on some tunes, seeing what we came out with, and we wrote a couple things, and the singer we had lined up didn't really work out, so we were without a singer, so we're like, what do we do, and kind of knew about Meg Roussel, doing, you know, these folk shows she's around town, and she wasn't really doing anything in the other bands at the time, so, you know, I kind of asked her if she was thinking of her project, and she was in, and we kind of added Corey, because we needed a bass player, and that was pretty much how we built the project. Sound kind of just, I don't know, warped into this digital thing because we just started messing with, you know, stuff every night. We'd work on a song, and I don't know, we just kept on adding little bitty elements of this digital drums and here and there, and before we know it, we kind of together our first single, which was Every Bone, and it had, like, this really dancey feel to it, so I think that's how we found our sound. Everybody was into it. The first time we debuted it at a One Eye Jack show in between bands, a friend of ours DJed, and he played the tune, and people just kind of really, they liked it. They were dancing to it. People were asking, like, who's this band? Who's this band? So I kind of just told us, like, yeah, this is the sound that we want. We just kind of took there and kept writing music.
Because have a sound that, like, a lot of people will dig,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely something different than New Orleans has seen in a long time. At least that's what we've been told. There's really not a lot of bands like this right now. So, yeah, it's kind of funny to do something different. I think that's what everybody likes about this project, is because no one in this project's really done anything like before.
Mm-hmm.
We all come from very different backgrounds.
How does your guys' songwriting process work?
Most of it, the roots of it kind of start out with just Matt and I will sit at his house, you know, for hours at a time, just putting together little bits and pieces of things. We'll come up with a hook, kind of work on it, you know, come up with some ideas for vocal melodies. And we put together kind of the basic structure of the song, and we'll bring it to practice and let everybody put their two cents into it and really kind of shape it up there, you know, and work on vocals, work on harmonies, something like that. But most of the writing process is done in small groups at a time. We'll, you know, two or three of us will get together and work on something. And we also record everything as we go, so that makes it a lot easier, I think, because, you know, well, if we work on something, we'll send it out to everybody, let them listen to it for a week in their car, so they kind of get a feel for what we have going on. It's a different style of writing than I've ever done. When I was with Antenna in the past, it was just like nine people in a practice space just trying things until you make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that you really kind of like sharpen the tunes a lot more when you sit down with a couple people at a time. It's kind of hard to keep, you know, six people keep their attention without, like, wanting to, you know, sit there and play or whatever. So it's kind of nice working in small groups. That's really how most of the writing is done for us, is, you know, small batches. I mean, we'll spend hours sometimes just looping a 20-second piece of the song to find the perfect sense for it, you know, just because one of the reasons why I think that stuff we've been writing is just, you know, come out so well, because we really do just put in the time to, you know, really get it to where we, you know, we know, like, okay, that's the one, that's the part, that's, you know, at least so far.
Do you guys plan on putting, you know, a CD together, an album together?
Yeah, we just finished tracking everything. So we record everything pretty much ourselves. We had a friend of ours track all the drums for us at his place, and everything is done. We're in the mixing process right now, and it's set to be mastered in early April. So we're looking to put a digital release out in May, early May, hopefully.
Cool.
Download, release on Bandcamp. Probably won't even press it on a CD, or probably just put it out there just because it's easier, and it's really kind of costly to do CDs today, so most people really don't appreciate them anymore anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what our plan is for now. One thing that we want to do in the near future, maybe not for the EP, but definitely for the full length that we plan to follow up with in late this year, is probably press vinyl. I think.
Uh-huh.
We're into vinyl, and I've always wanted to put out a record on vinyl with a band, so that's definitely something that we're looking to do.
Did you guys share a lot of the same favorite bands?
We do. I think our tastes mix kind of meet somewhere. If we had, like, draw a Venn diagram, I think you would find a lot of the same bands. A lot of, one thing we'll do too is, like, if we're working on a certain song and we have an idea for how we want it to sound or something about it, like, we kind of really want to, you know, if someone hasn't heard something, we'll pin down and be like, here, listen to this. This is what we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I think all of us kind of keep up with what's going on with you out there. Everybody kind of has their roots with us too, and, you know, we all love the locals here and stuff like that too. But I mean, as far as, like, what we're listening to right now, I mean, I don't know, what is everybody listening to right now? I was like, you know, I'm on. Matt says James Blake. Anything, whatever you listen to the most. Caribou and Cut Copy from Corey. Meg says Florence and the Machine. Brett, our drummer, is all about currency right now.
Nice.
And I kind of listen to a lot of stuff. I think the most influential things I'm listening to right now for this band is, like, maybe Phoenix or probably this band called DeLorean. I don't know if you heard DeLorean yet. I guess our tastes do kind of meet somewhere in the middle.
It does seem like you guys have a bunch of different sounds going on, you know, in the tracks, but, I mean, you do your own spin on the sort of dancey vibe.
Yeah, we try to keep the background of the song based around, you know, really dancey beats, whether it be disco or even hip-hop. I mean, like, a new thing of writing kind of features a Motown beat. But as long as it's something that really keeps, you know, the whole four and the four keeps moving, you know, just we have whatever elements we think that's for the song, and that's pretty much what our goal is for now.
You cut tracks before playing live, so how did the songs change when you decided to play them live?
It was definitely a lot of work. You know, a lot of people were really kind of like shocked, I guess, because we went through all this process and recorded, you know, we had pretty decent quality recordings.
Mm-hmm.
We put them out kind of to get a buzz going, I guess, in the city to see what people would think about it before we even booked the show.
That's the flip on the New Orleans standard of like gigging, and then and, you know, put out an album.
Yeah, I gotta say, it was definitely a lot of work because, like I said, first of all, this is something different than everybody in this band's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Whole electric side of the house with Brett Scott, electric pads integrated into his kit that he's running through a laptop, and every song, you know, changing the pads, different things. It's got triggers, you know, with trigger 30-second loops. Matt's using a Roland SP-44 sampler for the first time, which is things that ones like with Animal Collective uses live.
Right.
So that's a new thing. You know, he's never done like that before. And just trying to, like, synchronize everything, all these different delays and you know, different kind of sounds that we use from samples. It was really hard to do at first because everybody's used to being in the rock band.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing we had to do was the only way to make this was something that Brett has done before he actually had experience with was playing to a metronome. And that's really the only way to get it to work. But even then, it took us, I mean, we practiced probably, I'd say, twice a week for a couple of 2 or 3 months for our first show. We really had to split it in this for you. It was definitely difficult, I will say, to get it all, you know, worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And even sometimes when now that we kind of get in the hang of this, you know, we'll write a new song and we'll be sitting there behind the computer and like, you know, oh man, how are we going to do this live, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, how can we do this? Could we sample this? You know, I'll play bass on this one, or maybe you can play this key part. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we wish we had more instruments sometimes, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
It just kind of works out usually. We do the best we can. We try not to change the recordings too much for live. We try to keep the same thing that we originally wrote, you know, without dumbing it down too much. So, you know, it's working so far. Really.
I feel like timing would be the hardest thing to figure out, and like the pacing and try to recreate everything exactly how it was done.
Yeah,
you know?
Kind of any kind of limits on what we write. You know, one of the things that we first, it was actually one of the earliest conversations that Matt and I ever had was like, let's just get together and write some music. Let's not worry about what's going to be done live or who's going to play what or what instrument to be there. Let's just write whatever sounds like on kind of what we do, and you know, like I said, we just try to, you know, just make it work. And so far, we've been able to pull it off. I think our live sound, you know, definitely holds up to the recordings, you know, at least for these first 7 or so songs that we've been performing.
You guys really have a standard of quality of the kind of tracks you want to come out. And, like, I mean, they sound, like, so clean and polished, you know. It's nice. You guys clearly put a ton of time and effort into getting some interesting layered tracks out there.
Now, one of the things I've learned the most from this project, I think, is spending a lot of money in the studio is really not worth it anymore. We kind of sit behind. We do everything in Logic.
Okay.
You know, our own stuff, and, you know, we have a few nice interfaces and stuff, and a lot of MIDI keyboards and things like that. If you just kind of sit down and just, like, take your time, you know, we've learned that. Recording pretty good without having to, you know, pay for expensive studio time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still learning. I don't think that recordings are, you know, superior, but I'm kind of impressed because I've heard albums that I recorded with previous bands that we spent tons of money on. And I was like, man, I think actually the quality is not bad for a couple of, you know, rookies behind a, you know, recording software. But yeah.
What have been the biggest challenges with the project?
So far, I mean, I guess really just trying to adapt to this new style that it's really it's a first for everybody. You know, our stage setup for one is much different than we were dealt with. Like, you know, we really require a good sound check. You know, monitor levels have to be this way, and, you know, Brett's really got to work tight with the sound guy to make sure that everything is, you know, synced up properly with what he's doing back there and having a metronome in his ear. I think that playing live has probably been the hardest thing that we've had to do. As far as writing the music goes and recording it, you know, we just kind of do that in a pretty comfortable environment. I think we just kind of take our time. We never really rush ourselves on writing. But, yeah, I think this, you know, adapting to the live show was probably the hardest thing we had to do. We really took a good month just kind of working each one of these songs to the phone until we got it down, you know, tight to do the live because it was new for everybody.
What have been some of your favorite places to play in NOLA?
Places we have played or places that we haven't?
That you have played in this band, in Antenna Inn, Big History, Antenna Inn. I mean,
yeah, between Antenna and this band, I've pretty much made a run through almost all the venues here in New Orleans. I think with this band, probably the most fun venue you've played yet has probably been One on Jack. One on Jack's probably personally my favorite venue.
What do you like about it?
It's a good location. I mean, parking is not so great, but it's in the French Quarter. It always sounds great. All the sound guys there are amazing. Really nice looking venue. It's very special. It can fit a lot of people. And I've never really played a bad show at One on Jack's ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably say that one is my personal favorite. We just recently did Blue Nile. Mm-hmm. Blue Nile's always fun. I think the most fun we had with that was because it was the post-Crew de Vue show. Probably the biggest crowd we've seen yet. I mean, it was pretty much packed to the door all night. We've also done Carlton Station. That was our first show.
Mm-hmm.
We just did a Salad Bar gig. I will say that was probably the hardest thing we ever had to do, kind of going back to the other question, was adapting to small venues. We're getting better at it, and as long as we have an adequate PA system and a sound guy who can tolerate everything we need, really good at that. But we did a Salad Bar show recently. Salad Bar is really small, a very small PA. We actually had to bring additional monitors and other good.
Oh, man, that's nuts, man.
At work, we were really worried, you don't really get a sound guy there and all these monitors.
Sure.
Someone was nice enough to bring a monitor there so we could use for Maggie Lee vocals. And we really worried about what it was going to sound like. And we actually pulled it off, and it was good. It was our first time playing, a small venue without a big sound system.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably one of the hardest things to do.
The thing about NOLA, too, is that, the sound in, every venue can be so different, you know? I mean, there's such a wide range, of sound qualities.
We're actually doing Tipitina's. It's in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to play a Tipitina show, and that's another one that I love. I've never had a bad show at Tipitina. The night venue, it's just, it always sounds good there.
Yeah.
Very professional. So I really look forward to that. That'll be our first time.
That's big, too. Anytime you get to play Tips, that's another level of playing,
It's almost promise plan, because they do a lot of, really big acts, but then they do a lot of really New Orleans stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tips seems to really do a whole lot of indie rock, at least local indie rock stuff. They did just book, Broken Social Scene. I actually saw Phoenix there. But as far as, the local acts go, play there is really a big deal, at least to me,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Are you working on any of the projects besides the history?
No, I've got nothing else going. This project, when I first got into it,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to be my main focus, and it honestly eats enough of my time to where, as much as I'd love to play other projects, I really don't have the time physically, and I think everybody's pretty much kind of reduced down to one. Matt and Brett were doing Tunnel Cinema for a while, and Tunnel Cinema kind of went to a little hiatus. Amanda wasn't in any other project at the time other than just playing solo stuff. Corey was just recently in. My name is John Michael. Did lead that band. Meg's always doing her solo thing. She'll play a show. Mm-hmm. As of right now, it's kind of nice that everybody is really just focused on one thing. And good thing is, I don't think I've ever been in a band where everybody was only in one project.
The middle of the scene, everybody is in 15 bands.
We made this chart. It's really funny you say that, because I think it's still on the internet in MySpace. Someone put together this little chart where, and this is even 3 years ago, so now
right.
More insane, but they linked together all the bands. It's just a bunch of squares, and any band that shared a member with another, there was a line connecting. So if a band had two members, there was two lines. And if you look at it, it's just a crazy chart. It's pretty much every band that was around, maybe 07-ish, it's just everybody. It's one of the things I love about the music scene, too, is because in addition to having all these great bands, we're all friends, and we pretty much hang out regularly, and everybody kind of goes to shows and supports everybody. It's a really good thing. I think the New Orleans music scene is really kind of pulling together.
Mm-hmm.
Great things the Noir Collective is doing stuff, and Cobra Fest coming up in a few weeks. Cobra Fest was a huge success last year.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Bigger this year with, booking stuff Tour and Y, Power Riot.
Right, yeah, with all these bigger folks. The thing that I think is neat too is that it seems like everybody in the NOLA scene is always pushing for higher quality stuff, but then there's a certain standard of quality that everybody gets it.
The good thing I think about NOLA too is, every year, I think this would be the year too that finally you'll see a few bands actually, creep out of New Orleans and get some recognition elsewhere.
Right.
Generations are already doing it. You have Givers, even if from Lafayette, they still kind of know in this big scene.
Right.
They just kind of reflect.
Yeah.
You have them. Empress Hotel is doing really big things right now. If you've been following this all, they just had a couple of videos, published on really big magazines. They're getting some good stuff. They've been doing a lot of blogs, and they're on tour right now, actually.
in 2 weeks. Hoping that we can do the same with this sound release. You know, we haven't put anything out yet official, but, you know, people have heard so far. You know, we get a lot of good feedback. You know, the fans are on and stuff. So it's kind of nice to hear that. You know, I've never really been in a project where people go out of their way to, you know, tell you that, you know, they like what you're doing. We're doing a run right now in New Orleans. This month and the next couple, I think we have a total of, like, 9 shows. So pretty much everything like 3 times a month. So until the end of April, and we're going to kind of take a small break because our drummer Brett's actually going to be having a daughter, Newlyweds. They're having their first child, so we're going to have to take some time off. Probably throughout most of the summer, you know, we'll lay off on shows, and, you know, summertime is never really, being kind of fizzles a little bit in summer because a lot of college students tend to go back home. Oh. You know, I think the shows are not as good as they are in the fall. Our main goal for this summer, like I said, once the EP will be released, I think we're going to sit inside and really, you know, work on this full length that we want to follow up with, you know, 10 tracks or so, and I would like to have that come out at the end of this year or something.
You guys are really trying to do something different for the NOLA scene, for sure, you know, and I think that's why people are so into it, is the fact that, like, no one in NOLA sounds like you guys.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we love it. I mean, regardless of where we ever end up, you know, we'll never forget our home. I think everybody's still going to have their NOLA roots.
Mm-hmm.
I think we started out even playing in some band that really just, you know, screamed New Orleans, or it's like, if you heard from my biggest, you may not think, you know, or someone said, this guy's from New Orleans, you know, it's like, it'll look different, but, you know, I don't think we'll ever forget where we came from, at least.
The NOLA just comes out in bands, some of the quality of their playing. If you're from NOLA, you know how to put on a good live show. You know, you're going to give the people a good show. You know what I mean? That's the sort of thing where it's like, I think there's that sort of standard of quality.
Yeah, I'm not definitely, because like I say, I came from Manson & Inn, so his biggest drive was our live show.
Right.
It was probably the best thing about it. It's just, it's 9-piece, 2 drummers, horns, and that's one of the things I always set the bar high on the project. The thing I hate the most is see a band after hearing the record, and they really just don't deliver live, or like it just lacks the energy. To think that you have to have both if you really want to, you know, that people really enjoy you, or you can't just have one or the other, you know, it's always disappointing to me, or vice versa. See a band that's amazing live, and that record, I'm like, they're way better live.
Oh, right.
Try to keep that level, you know, the same, or put out good music, put out good records. Well, let's make sure we do this in the class, so, you know, can come out and dance and enjoy.